eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. And we'll sing holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Because we can sing worthy, worthy, worthy. Right?
Amen.
And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this afternoon. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from Revelations 1 and 2 Peter 1. Now remember, the Lord willing, Brother Samson Shetty will be here with us on Wednesday preaching for us. And then on the 9th, Brother Samuel Prakash Kote, Brother Prakash's son, will be here preaching for us on the 9th. And then remember, the next weekend, the third Saturday, will be the fellowship meeting that Brother Longori. So remember that and just pray that the Lord would bless. If you want to ride with us, make sure you let us know, and we'll be glad for you to ride on with us to the fellowship meeting and back. All right? And so I think that's all of the announcements. Bible study Saturday, be on justification. So come and be with us and just have a good time in the Lord, right? Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for you being you, because that way we can depend on it. Because you're always the same. You never change. Whatever how you deal with each one of us, you'll always deal with other people that way if we'll just allow it to happen. If you'd reveal yourself back there to them, then surely you'll reveal yourself unto us here now. We pray that you would just bless and guide each one as we read your word. You come, Lord, and have your way with each one of our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may we walk in you, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. Be back on where we've been. We just kind of took a little gap this morning, and I hope you'll take that message and study it and think about it a lot, because you may say, well, it just didn't sound like much to me, but it's been on my heart a long time that to speak and say, you know, that, you know, we could be in idol worship, worshiping false gods. So how do we know? So we better know. We better know whether the one speaking to us is real or not. But just remember, the way you know, see, I didn't finish the message, but the way you know is, remember, it was your own personal experience, but it's the word. Because if that one speaking to you, Abram went from Abram and he met God, he journeyed with him, he met him on different occasions, and then he met him and changed his name. All in his journey. Brother Brown said, the journey of every Christian would come like Abraham. If that one that's talking to you, that's led you so far, would just keep talking to you. But if it ever stops leading you to the Word, we want to know who's talking to us. You say, will he lead us part of the way? Yes, he'll lead us part of the way. That was the seriousness of what I was wanting us to see. Because I've seen so many people in this message come in it, and be in it a while, and to see them just fall away. Well, evidently, something stopped talking, because God is the same, That was my whole point of trying to get across to you, all right? Since the revelation of Jesus Christ, God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now we go into 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Read on ahead of myself. Souls instead of soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace. Grace is a revelation, right? That is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. All right, now, I want to try to not review as much today, but I want to make a point of the message, and we'll get to it, you know, to bring it down into what I wanted us to see. And then, the Lord willing, I don't know exactly how we will start approaching the rest of the book of Revelations. I may choose to speak a little bit on it and things, but it will not be in a lengthy discussion of each seal. That's more or less maybe take a seal, just see what it is, see what's doing, and, you know, go from that and try to go on into the book of Revelations. But, you know, now, we're over in chapter 5, and we've been in this for quite a while, and showing that, that there was a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. In verse 1, it says that book is sealed with seven seals. Now, the emphasis most everybody has placed upon that is the part of it where it says written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. They totally, you know, just do away with thinking about the seals part of it and just wondering whether it's inside or outside. And, you know, that's kind of what we'll be dealing with on the Daniel 70 week. So you pray for us about it, because most of the thing is a discussion of whether there's 3.5 years left after the rapture or 7 years left after the rapture, instead of, you know, even trying to understand anything about the plan of redemption. Amen. To just arguments over whether it's 3.5 or 7. And like one brother said, well, just put them both together and it'll be 10.5. So that's not too good of an answer for anything, you know, of doing. But, you know, this book is sealed in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. A proclamation goes forth, you know, that for somebody, some man, to be able to come and take the book and to loose the seals. Now, taking the book would be fine, but we're not interested in just someone taking the book, but to loose the seals thereof is the emphasis John is making, see, or the angel to him. And that's exactly the way it is. It needs to be understood that we've got to understand what's within the book. All right, now, today we will be dealing with what is related to us here, people, see, age, time, where we're at, of the seals and the things, and then we will go into the other parts of that later, I'm sure of some. But now watch. The book is closed. It's sealed. A proclamation comes forth. All right? And then the angel says, now the root of, you know, the king has overcome. He can do it. But when he looked, he saw a lamb. He saw a lion, you know, calling for a lion, but because he knew it would tie together with redemption of the line of the tribe of Judah. But then when it comes forth, as I tried to emphasize, that, you know, the odd part was that you see a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. And, you know, that to me, as I've tried to make emphasis upon, is the fact that you and I must produce that lamb. All right? It's not just it was done at Calvary. You know, that's fine. That's wonderful, because it's got to be the same lamb.
Right.
All right? The same lamb that was at Calvary.
Right.
But it's the end time to see and understand our day and knowing what's taking place here in this hour among you and I. And what will bring to pass the rapture. So we see here in chapter 5 that the bride is in glory. So we know for certainty that this will come to pass in our day. Why? Because we've already looked forward to seeing the bride in glory after the rapture. So then it means it's not to whether or not we may do it. It means that we have done it, or it will take place. Now, there are things, I believe, in the journey of the Christian life and the part to do with bringing about these things. I believe that a lot of those things are already taking place.
Right.
All right? I'm not looking for one of these days, whammo, something's going to happen or somebody's going to raise up, whatever, and a great move starts on the basis of, you know, some kind of a help to get us out of here. I believe the message has already been brought. I believe we must get into the message. All right? And by doing it, then I can stand here and say, somebody will. Why? Because it's there in the Word. The picture is shown. You remember the scene, the prophet, I kept emphasizing the scene, preparing for the opening of the seven seals.
Right.
All right? That scene has to do with you and I.
Amen.
Because that lamb comes from the church ages, because it's got the seven horns and seven eyes.
Right.
The lamb that was crucified at Calvary didn't have seven horns and seven eyes. That was the beginning. That was the one to pay the price. But in the end time, he's to come back in his people. And remember the last message I was bringing to you, that I believe the bride of Jesus Christ must become, as the prophet, we gave emphasis, the fullness, total fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, well, how can you prove that? Without even a quote from the prophet, I could prove it by the fact that this is chapter 5. Somebody has already made it to a place to where this is showing it already finished. Right? So somebody's going to have to become the Word. Why can't we believe that we're part of it? Why can't we put the emphasis up on where we're at? You know, why can't we believe this is it? Why are we looking for something else? You know, are we waiting for another bus to pull up, or another messenger to fall out of heaven, or some form of something? No. We're here at the end of all things. And I don't mind making the emphasis, because it's already shown that it will take place. But if this bride doesn't become the Word, then everything behind her is gone.
Right.
Yeah. Hebrews 11:40, they without us cannot be made perfect.
Right.
So it's dependent upon you and I.
Amen.
No, Brother Dale, it's dependent upon Jesus Christ. Well, what do you think I'm talking about?
Right.
If the bride becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then Jesus Christ will be in his church here in the last days. That's sensible.
Right.
He will even be visible among us without being corporal.
Right.
But he'll be visible among us and raise the dead, and we'll go into rapture. That's what your prophet had to say. All right? But in doing that now, See, we look at it, and we're kind of looking at something that it's a mystery. And a mystery is something that's going on, but not fully comprehended. You agree with that definition? That's Dale's definition, okay. A mystery is something that's going on or being made known, but not fully comprehended. That's why it remains a mystery. And the prophet said even a supernatural element will remain even to the fact that it is revealed. All right? See, now we've read this for 40 years. Right? We've read the prophet's message for 40-something years about these things. All right? But you know, it must be somewhere that it will come to pass. And as it does, then we'll see the hour and time that we're living. All right? Now, to do that, I want you to just kind of think with me on a line that this one that comes and takes the book is the Lamb of God. Yeah. All right? This Lamb of God does not have to come. Now listen to me, please. This Lamb of God that we're looking at in Revelations in this end time doesn't have to come to take away the sins of the world. That was done at Calvary. All right. Well, then it can't be a different lamb. You can't have it a different lamb. But you can have it in a different, the lamb in a different form. Remember? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods. It's God in a different form or manifestation. All right? So here in the end time, we're not looking for him to climb up on a cross and die again, but we're looking for him to become in our own experiences. Remember, now I've preached this over and over. In our experiences, can you see in your experience that that lamb has been restored to the throne in your life? Can you see in your life, in your revelation, in your thoughts? Or are we still just tied up in all kind of doctrines? Well, we don't know where this is right. So-and-so said it's this way. So, well, that you'll never get anywhere from this morning's message, because if you remember it, I emphasize that voice that speaks to you must keep on speaking to you. What will change us will be the same thing that we started with, just in a different meaning, a deeper meaning, not a different meaning. All right. So then we're looking at it and we're seeing that this lamb that comes forth to take the book would have to be in our experience. All right? If it's dependent upon us, come on now. If it's dependent upon a people to become the Word, and God has said that would take place right in the Word, then it will come to pass.
Amen.
The only difference is that we have the opportunity to be able to make ourselves available. Maybe it's a bad way of saying it, but what else can you say? Because it is left up to us. We can go on another 40 years. That was the one thing of the 70 weeks of Daniel that I don't know, we may emphasize it a lot when we get up there, but I doubt it, because it don't matter. People ain't going to listen to you when you say it that way. But that's where I proved in 1974 that we could pass the year 2026, and later on I corrected that to even go up that we could pass the year 3000 and not break Brother Brown's message. So don't just think that time has run out, so time running out means we got to be it. Now, time running out don't make us it. Okay? What makes us it is when the Word becomes revealed to us. You remember I kept asking the question one day, could you take your revelation and go to Israel? and them receive Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, listening to him the other day where he was talking about visiting with that Jew, you know, and said that Jew said, you can't take God in three pieces, give them to us Jews. But they'll tell you right real quick where that come from. Said they know it come from the Catholic Church.
Right.
Well, see, they've studied it. They know where it comes from.
Right.
All right? Now, in doing that, then, you couldn't take a Trinity and go there. Well, could you take a two Lords or something like that and go there? Or Jesus wouldn't go to the River Jordan? Could you take that and go to Israel? Well, they just laugh at you.
Right.
But a real true revelation of one true and living God in the correct order, that's why Brother Run says, you won't go because it ain't going to be you. He says it's going to be two prophets. They are the ones that's going to have that revelation. And they are the ones that's going to have the signs to back it up.
Right.
You might be able to go over there and make an intellectual speech to the Jews. But remember, we haven't taken the rapture yet. If we haven't taken the rapture yet, the Gentile age is not over yet.
Right. Right.
If it is over, you and I missed it. All right. I don't think so. All right. But now listen. So then why would a prophet, if you're looking at the book of Revelations and looking at it all over that way and seeing things that way, instead of seeing that you and I must first be here on earth. All right. Now, how many years have I preached it? Matching pieces, how long have I been preaching on? We must match what this is. We must be what this is. When we get there, will not be a change of what we are. When we sit on the throne with him, when we're the book in his hand, it won't be that we're all messed up here and then we're changed up here.
Right.
No, we must be that here
Right. Before
we can go there.
Right.
All right? Now, see, then that way you got your matching pieces. That's about, what, 6 years, 7 years ago, 10 years ago? I don't know. All right, 95. That's a few over that. All right. But now listen, we spend a lot of emphasis upon bringing it down, and we get to verse 7 there of the, you know, the Lamb in verse 6 with the seven horns and seven eyes. In verse 7 it says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All right. Now he come and took the book. That don't mean the book's open.
Right.
He just took the book. Okay. Now, your prophet made a statement. Go ahead, brother. I think Brother Bob's on the horn today. I didn't give him too much. I said, I'll give you a relaxing. But just follow what he's saying. And let's see. There's no need of reading the whole thing. Let's get the emphasis up on the scripture part. Back up, back down. Because we want the scriptural part. All right. And he's getting into the verse and where he's talking about all these things, behold, and lo, in the midst. That's quoting, that is the, when it comes to that, that's the eighth verse. Right? Let me make sure, because I want the emphasis upon it. And when he had taken the book, the 24 beasts, see, it comes to the one sitting upon the throne. Okay? Just get that part. Now watch what he says. When he comes, go ahead and roll it up now. When he comes to the one sitting on the throne. All right. Now, the seven church age of messengers kept the fire burning, etc. He's explaining four beasts, 24 elders, and all of the thing. Look what he says. Now watch. And when he had done that, watch what taken place. You talk about a jubilee. Now this is exactly the breaking of them seals. And on the 99 version and on the seal book from the 99, it says taking, you know, place. When they brought it up to the 2010 or whatever, what they got, like one, the new one, they took it, but they put it what, and said seals take place, which is the same thing. All right, he said, we'll get into that silence in heaven. Why would a prophet talk about up in heaven a breaking of the seals? When the breaking of the seals in heaven will help no one. Is that sensible? That's like the lamb that stood as slain before the foundation of the world. But as long as that's up in heaven, it's not going to help anybody. That'd have to be transmitted down to earth. All right. So why would he come in to emphasize here in the fifth chapter, and he would say this is the bride of Christ in glory after the rapture, and he says this is exactly the breaking of them seven of them seals. What's his emphasis upon? What is he trying to make a point for? All right, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now that's when he took the book. Verse 7, he takes the book, right? Takes the book out of his hand. Verse 8. See? You see something. A scene. Getting ready for the breaking. Verse 9. And this group of people who not only just see this, but must become this that we're talking about, they start rejoicing. They're rejoicing. Having a good time. About their salvation. Right? But then in verse 10 it says, and hast made us under our God priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth. Alright? Now where's the breaking of the seals? There. That's my point. That's what he said it was now. This is exactly the breaking of the seals. In chapter 5. Alright? Now, remember now, whatever you see there has to be taking place here now. Or it won't be there. Yeah. Alright? That's why I can't understand the people of this message of not the joyous rejoicing within their heart about the work that's revealed to them. You know, instead of arguing and fussing about the little nitty gritty points or something, you know, why not a joyous, happy, wonderful time to understand we're fixing to go there. If it's 20 years, what does it matter? Just be a little older. Maybe have more maturity by then or something. You know, might be able to preach if I wait around another 20 years. You know. But listen. See, we're looking for something to happen or some way, or instead of seeing that right here, something's got to take place in this end time.
Yep.
Right here.
Amen.
All right. Then we look at it there and see that he'd say, this is exactly the opening of those seals. Well, now, according to the prophet, page, I think it's 45, it's the rising of the sun. May miss it a little, but it's in the rising of the sun. He says, he is those seals. And said, what are these seals, in other words? What would be the emphasis the prophet would place upon the seal? He said, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's the seals. Not an antichrist riding out. We'll get to that as we get to the seal part and just actually try to go through. The seals is not revealing the antichrist. I preached that for how long? Going within the 40-year bracket. Because The seal is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is seen in opposition of that Holy Spirit. So it cannot be, the Holy Spirit cannot be the seal and the seal being the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit that reveals the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, to go with a part up here, then drop back to earth. Okay? So go with me for a second in what I'm trying to say. So in verse 8, when he had taken the book, the beast and all the worship and all things are going on, and they pour out the prayers of the saints. And then they sing a new song. We know that's the bride because the prophet said it was. And it's the song of full redemption. Because this time, these people in the end time, we see more about redemption than anyone has ever seen upon the earth. That's why I kept reading that Peter there, what they done, they looked forward and seen it to be us that would do it, not them. Speaking of us, he said, well, boy, isn't that something, David? David just killing that Goliath. Well, that's what I told Sister Gail when years ago we started a Sunday school class. And she said, well, kind of what do you want to talk to him? I said, I want you to teach each one of them children that they're a little bitty David with a slingshot. And they can take down any giant that comes their way. That's the opening of the word. See, that's seeing in the correct order. Not to just be good and be wonderful, but to see who you really are. All right. And so then you see him at verse 10 then. And then watch verse 10 and you'll see the opening of the seals. Well, now what is the opening of the seals? Come on. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The truth. Everybody with me?
Right.
Whatever you want to call seals or whatever, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. Now read verse 10. And has made us under our God kings and priests. And we're going to reign with him on earth. Heading back to the millennial reign one day on earth. Rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
All right?
Amen. Now there's the breaking of the seals because there's the revealing of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The revealing of Jesus Christ, if you remember all that I've taught you, if not, I would go back and re-listen. We are the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We, the bride of Christ, are the revelation. We're the revelation of God made known for the hour that we're living. We're Christ made manifest in another form called a bride. And that bride can sing a new song. They couldn't sing the song. Now come on, listen. They couldn't sing the song of full redemption back in the ages because there was no way to get this body redeemed. Their songs of redemption was like I said, that Wesley and them would sing. I know it was the blood. When we're not saved by the blood, we're kept saved by the blood. It's the life that's in the blood that saves us. See, they sang the songs of their age and their time. We sing the song of redemption for body, spirit, and soul. Our whole being never has been an age that the whole being could be brought into view. What if the rapture had taken place before this age? Then you would have had to have, they would have had, because we wouldn't be there, they would have had to have had a new body because they wouldn't have known how to redeem it. But we're in the plan of redemption. The seals reveal the complete plan of redemption. I'm quoting Brother Branham. They reveal what was, what is, and what shall be.
Right.
So the entire journey of man upon the earth is revealed in those seals.
Right.
So are you chasing the journey of God through the seals, or are you chasing the journey of the Antichrist?
Right.
To try to see him. Which one is it? But you see, verse 10, he says, you've made us priests and kings. You've made us what you was. Come on, is that true? We are what he was. He has made us and not we ourselves.
Right.
It's the beginning of the creation of God, the seventh church age, Revelation 3:14. And the prophet said, we're the continuation of that creation. He said, this is a revelation of God in his church.
Right.
And God in his church becomes so real and connected to God, it can be called a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. And you have a book in his hand. That book can be the believers that's in the Word. Being the believers in the Word, that we can see ourselves and follow it right out to the end. The Brother Brown said, this is the actual opening of them seals. Now, what's he talking about now? Because I realize, even after preaching that part about it, that you're probably still thinking, what's he talking about? You see, church, you are the bride of Jesus Christ. And God told Abraham one day, he said, how can I hold anything from him, seeing he's the heir of all things? Well, now, how can he hold anything from you and I, seeing that we're his bride, we're his wife, we're his children, we're his offspring, we're all of the things that I preached about back there, because we are him made manifest in another form. Now, is he going to hold anything from us? Now, in 1963, a man went to Arizona, and God came down and spoke to that man and told him to come back to Jeffersonville because of visions and things. He said, it'll be told you then what these seals are. Now, I ask you a simple question. He comes back home. He preaches, what, seven nights or so, whatever, like Sunday through Sunday or whatever it turns out. And he preaches the seals. All right? Was those seals in the manifestation when he preached them? If he was, we got a lot of problems.
Right.
Because the fifth one is to Israel, and a lot of that is to take place after we get out of here. And the sixth one is the tribulation period, and we certainly don't want to think that we're there yet.
Right.
So then there must be a difference between the actual happening under a seal that is opened up and you look at it, and the fact that God could speak to a prophet and tell him what those things are. Now, are you listening? There would be a vast difference between it. Because when the prophet would stand here and tell you what that is, he wouldn't tell you, we're already there. Right? We don't want to be there. But he told us what's going to be there, just like we can look at it and see, you know what? We can see just what will be there.
That's right.
Right? Amen. You can see why that I've so many years I've tried to express to you that the seals are to Israel. The seals don't take place until after we get out of here. The first seal is the man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. That's what your prophet said it was. Well, do we see him? No, we're going to go back in the seals as we done back in 79 when I preached on them the first time. We're just going to kind of go back into them and just pick up where the Antichrist comes from, where it happens and what takes place. You know, there can't be a man of sin to sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God or the beast until he first is a saying, a doctrine, Antichrist, spirit, false prophet or prophet, false prophet, incarnate false prophet. And then he can become the beast after we leave out of here. He can't be the beast while we're here. That's contrary to Scripture. All right. So then we can look and see where that come from. And we can see where it's going. But we're certainly not back where it started 1,000 years ago. And we're certainly not wanting to be over there where it ends in reality. But if you see that man of sin walk in that temple of God over there, wherever you want to put him, if he walks in there, you done missed the rapture. Yeah. So then the breaking of the seals is the revelation to be revealed to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And do you understand me?
Right.
The revealing of the seals, the breaking of the seals that God could break to that, well, he broke them 2,000 years ago. So that's in the Bible. The Lamb broke the seal. We'll get to that. He broke the seal in the Bible. There, 2,000 years ago. The prophet could be revealed what that is. And he could tell us because we are the bride. So we can be told the whole journey that way. And we don't have to be here when it takes place. And we don't have to be here when it starts. But we can see who we are. That's what's happening in Revelation 5. You realize in Revelation 5, you are going to be standing there, a glorious, decked out, wonderful, beautiful bride of Christ. Right? You agree? Revelation 5, we're already in glory. Come on now.
Right.
Marriage supper, whatever you want to put it. You're going to be there, eternal body, spirit, and soul.
Amen.
But it's because you become the Word here.
Yeah.
Or we don't go there.
Right.
Now, and in doing that, he can say, I'm going to show you. Now, do you remember the messages? I'm going to take you, not down on earth. I'm going to take your revelation.
Right.
Yeah. I kept asking that question, right? Could God take your revelation and go convert the Jews with it? He's going to take your revelation and come back to earth through two witnesses.
Amen.
Remember how I emphasized it? They will be told that Jesus Christ was Almighty God. And they'll realize they have crucified him.
Right.
And they'll say, where did you get them nail prints in your hands? He'll say, in the house of my friends. In other words, he say, you, your representative, your people, rejected me and crucified me. I am the very God of glory. And I told you what I believed. Whether you agree or not, that's all right. I'm just crazy. But when they tell them, those two witnesses tell them Jews, you missed the right of sonship. Because of your rejecting me and crucifying me, you rejected the right of sonship. And it went to the Gentiles. Now they're going to go weep because they realize they can never be a changing of the situation. They'll pull aside and weep because, sure, they killed their Savior, but mainly because they actually killed their own right of sonship. They destroyed their right of sonship. You can't blame somebody else. They won't get mad at the Gentiles because they accepted it. They'll see they rejected it themselves. He said, well, the poor people over right now, go over and try to tell them about Jesus and see if they're not still rejecting it. Come on. The Bible says that the veil is over their heart until this time, and they can't see him. They can't even see the nail prints. They'd look and say, now come on. You go over right now and you tell them in Jews. I want you to look at something. Now you listen, you wait. Get the point. You go over there now and you say, there it is in the Word. Would you agree that you Jews killed this man called Jesus? And they'd say, yes. Come on. Because they did. History proves it. Their own rule, their own writings, their own doings prove that they killed that man. They'd be glad to say it. We sure did, because he's a blasphemer. He was a devil, a Beelzebub. Why don't you go ask some of them? Why don't you find you a good Jew, Brother Dick, and ask him? Did you Jews kill Jesus? The man that you call Jesus, whether or not you're talking about him being God or not, so that we leave that out of it. I just want to know, did you people kill Jesus? And they'd say yes. And said we ought to kill him. Because they didn't believe he was God. But when they come to the realization that they did kill God, it'd be a horrible time. Right? Wouldn't it be something, Brother Marlowe, for you to... I'm making a story, okay? And our old Brother Bill was. Old Brother Bill, he was a good old brother. I loved him. He probably laughed at this story, but there you'd say, well, Daddy, I want my money. You owe me some money. You're rich. You owe me some money. Bill would say, son, you don't need it right now. Now, is that not the prodigal son story? Okay, come and follow it. And Richard would say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go make sure. Because they're doing a lot of that today, right?
Right.
You better not take out a lot of insurance. I see some wives with their eyeballs rolling up. I don't have a lot of insurance.
Right.
I don't mean that wrong. I've got insurance. But get the story. And there you go kill your daddy to try to get an inheritance. And you find that that inheritance had stipulations in it. That inheritance would say, I have other children. Of other boys. You immediately would be downhearted because you figure you're going to have to cut it for five ways or something, all the kids. You're going to have to divide it up about five ways. And you think, man, I done lost a whole lot. I'm still pretty good, but I done lost a whole lot. But what if you come to the day of the reading of the will? And in that will, Bill would say, Richard, if you hadn't had me killed, you would have got everything. Now, wouldn't that be a downhearted time? Well, you know you're in trouble, you're going to jail. Right? But wouldn't that be downhearted to know that you killed the one that could give you something?
Right.
And you know that's what they done. They killed the man that could give them eternal life. And in killing that man, they lost everything. They deserve hell. I'm not against the Jews, but they do. But so does every Gentile that turns down Jesus Christ deserves hell, no matter who we are. But you just think about when they see him. And they'll realize, like Joseph when he was appearing to his brethren, and they realize there's the man that we done the work. There'll be no saying, well, we didn't do this. You know, it's not mentioned of which one was it? Is it Judah? No, what is the oldest one? Anyhow, the one that tried to spare Joseph. You remember one did. One of the brethren tried to spare him. He was going to leave it in a well. He was going to sneak and take him out. Read your Bible. You remember the story? He was going to take him out and you know, get him free. Well, you know, he wasn't still feeling too good when he got there. I don't guess he thought them other guys going to get it. You remember when I tried to help you? No, I don't think he was doing it. I think he realized it was all in bad shape. Right. You get to a point when they get there, there won't be no argument over what I've done and how I've been good and how I kept the word to the letter. I've lived it. I've been a Jew for a Jew all the way down. There'll be no argument. They'll see they rejected Jesus Christ. And then they'll realize they lost their own sonship. But the Gentiles received it. See, we're going to Israel, not as a person, not as people, but as the Word of God that's been revealed in the last days. Those two witnesses are going to take this book that I've preached to you for so long out of the Revelations 5 about an open book and things. How did it come open? What happened? How did it become a book? How did it become closed? Because the book is closed in Revelations 5. Now, where did Brother Branham get anything to preach it from? It closed in Revelations 5. He got it from God as that word of the mystery that we Gentiles would receive the complete revelation of the redemptive plan for all mankind by way of a prophet messenger. That's why it says it in Revelations 10, 1 through 7. When it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries would be revealed. John, you remember how I've tried to express it. John's writing all of these things, and he's thinking, now how can I get this back to the church? But he looks back at the Revelations 3:14, and he realizes that's going to have to be a prophet in that age. So he looks at it, and he said, how do I get it back? He looks back, and he said, but there's an angel that can bring the word of God. You see, the literal happening of the seals never broke in 63. Come on. The literal things of what was taking place. It better not have happened yet. Yeah. But the revelation. Oh, me. The revelation. No wonder that man could stand there and say, I was hoping somebody would catch it. He said, it's been them seven angels bringing me back here for this message tonight when he got on the seventh seal. Those angels bringing the word down to a prophet on earth. Not seven angels like seven angels, right? Not seven angels like seven spirits of God. But the prophet did say the angel was the first one met him on that first night and told him what that was. That's why the people in the message try to make it the fact of saying Brother Branham met his own theophany or met his own self. Why do you want to go that way? You're trying to make some mystery. Tell me what he said. God forgive me for being plain. I don't give a hoot how it got here. That's old plain southern language. I don't give a hoot how it got here. What I care about is what is it? You come to my house, you stand out in the yard, and you say, Brother Dale, I got you something. Brother Dale, I got you something. 3 days later, Brother Dale, I got you something. No, bring it in the house. If you can't, park it out in the back. Got a Cadillac in the back. And I got a Dodge in the front now. So I got two gifts. You know, got a truck in the front yard and a Cadillac in the backyard. Everybody on the internet, boy, they think, man, that guy's rich. He's got these big... I thank God for my 2000 Cadillac. It's got 107,000 miles on it, but I still love it. Old Dodge sitting out in the front's got 290,000, but I still love it. We ain't rich around here, folks. But we're rich in the gospel. What I like. I like that part. I want to hear the word. But get what I'm saying. So Revelation 10, when it says, Thou hast made us kings and priests. See, that's what's going to Israel. There's your breaking of the seal. So it is the breaking of it. He first said it was what? Revelation 5 was a scene preparing for the opening. Right? You remember we read that? We preached it. Now he says this is actually the opening. But remember, this ain't took place yet. That's in heaven. I don't think we're there. If you think we're in heaven now, I'd rather preach it the other way, and I don't believe it that way. There are some in this message preach that we're already in hell here, but I don't quite agree with that either. They preach we're already in the tribulation. I don't agree with that either. But you know, this has never taken place. We've never sung the complete plan of redemption, Brother Dick. We're only beginning to get the verses of it. And you know what I was thinking the other day about it? This is kind of not to be funny, but... You know, Brother Brown said, if you get it all mixed up, he said, you've got a cow up in the top of a tree trying to eat grass. Got to thinking about that. And I thought, you know what? I believe we've got the cow on the ground. Grass might not be too good right now, but at least I believe we've got the cow on the ground. You know? In other words, we're in the story. We're in the happening. We've at least got the picture right, except for the brown burn-up grass. And he'll take care of that. Why? Because the cow's on the ground. Sorry about calling you a cow, but that's the bride anyway. But listen, folks. He said, this is actually the opening of the seals. Now, he'd already said this is a scene preparing for the opening. And then he finishes up that this is actually the opening. See, church, that's to you and me. That's what's taking place now. This is the actual opening of the seals. Not the literal things that happen underneath each one of those things. You know, places or seals. This is the bride. This is the church, the bride becoming the Word. And God has taken off of the entire Bible, not just the book of Revelation, not just of chapter 5 or 10 or whatever. He's taken the veil off the entire book. And by way of the prophet messenger has handed it down to his little bride. To tell her who she is. To tell her what he thinks about her. Which would be the greatest if you was going to go and say, Brother Donnie, you was going to go to... He likes it. What's that? Down under Australia. He loves it down there. I don't know why, because it's down on the other side. You got to look up. But anyhow, wouldn't it be something if you'd go down there and said, boy, I got something I want to tell you. I got permission from the United States to give you everything we got. Well, you know, then people over there say, hey, what's good? But you know what? A man can stand there and look at a promise and die.
Right.
Come on, right? The old saying is, hey, you got to give the belly something. You can promise the head all you want to. You know, you can talk about what you're going to get. One of these days we're going to have this. But you know that don't feed you. And them little bitty babies, they got a whole lot more sense than we have. Because you know what they do? They just start crying. You know what we do? We go out and try to do this, try to do that. They just start crying. See, church, instead of going over there and telling them all you'd give them, what would it be, though, if you could pull up with a tractor loads of food to some of those countries that are starving to death, and you just back up there and say, eat to your heart's content? That'd be a whole lot better, wouldn't it? And see, that's what God has done for you and I. He just didn't promise us these things. He just didn't tell us what we're going to be, one thing or another. He's given it to us. I sit now and think about the things that maybe you don't pay no attention. Maybe we need to start a record of what God has done among us to get people to realize that God is with us. You know, just remember the things that have been testified lately that God is doing among us.
Right.
Sure, and I want to see more.
Amen.
I'm like the fellow with a watermelon. That's good, but ain't there some more? See, church, what else could you and I want than what God has given us? $1 million? $1 billion? $1 trillion? It'd only be 1/12 what we owe. I think that's right, ain't it? 12 trillion or something. 16 trillion, that'd be 1/16 of what we owe. That'd be gone in a hurry, wouldn't it? But to give us eternal life. And let us stay here on earth to prove. Brother Branham said, in paraphrasing, he said, God's going to turn loose or allow that devil to get after that bride in the end time to show that she won't fall like the first bride did. You mean God's going to do it? Yes. And you remember in the scripture, he sent a man among you and he prophesied, and it come to pass and he leads you to another God. He said, I done that to try you.
Everything going wrong. I mean, every time I turn around, I'll say, you know.
Biggest bunch of babies there's ever been. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the back. You see, church, the most beautiful thing that God could ever think of is his bride.
Amen.
And he's got her here in the end time to prove that she ain't falling like Eve fell in the garden. She ain't going to fall like they did at Nicaea, Rome.
Right.
I know a lot of people, they don't like it the way I preach it, but that's all right. You go get Brother Branham and study it. They say, oh, that bride at Rome, Nicaea, Rome didn't fall. She left, went home. Yeah, but Brother Branham said, quote, they already had gotten the thought and they took it home with them. And that caused the downfall of the little bride of Christ. You see, we just need to believe all of it. But can you see, the book of Revelations is laid out. It's not to where you got to move this back over here and get this over here and pull that over here and bring that over here. The prophet said that the ends and the butts was in the right place. Listen, church, let me just say this and quit. The seals is not a revelation of another God. There's not a God there and a God here and a God there, one to Israel, one to the bride, one to this, one to... There's only one true and living God.
Amen.
And Brother Branham says that it comes down to where that it's Christ in the further revelation of the one and same God living in his church. Not another God. Same God here in bride form. Still revealing himself. I thought we believe what he said in Christ's mystery, the bride is part of the mystery, must be revealed.
Right.
I thought we believed that the prophet, when he got into the church age book, that's where I was looking, trying to find it there, I got it on my note, the word that this is the capstone revelation of himself. Where? In this generation, this last days is the capstone revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the capstone revelation of Jesus Christ? Revelation 5, verse 10. That he hath made us priests and kings.
Right.
We are that part of God that's revealed in the last days.
Amen.
To be made manifest to face Satan. Is it Satan? You're going to have to back off. Well, you're going to have to step back, old boy. Now, can I tie it together for a second with this morning then? Has God spoke to you in your heart after all of these years and say, you are my bride. You are the people in the end time. There's not another group to come, not another generation. The world can't stand another generation. Now, I didn't say the bride. I said the world can't.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, another few years and we're all going to be without a home, whether you own it or not. You're going to be without one. You're going to have them foreclosure signs sitting on the front. And the only ones that's going to own them houses is the ones that goes over and takes the lead up or the form of bringing the Antichrist into being. So be careful what you're signing. I've told you before, they're already saying that a lot of your subdivisions, you cannot have no worship service in your home. Why? Because they done passed the law. You say they can't do that. You signed the paper. Come on, you signed the paper. That's all they're going to do when you say something. Say, is that your signature? Yeah. Well, you signed it.
Yep.
It's like I've told you. You can't start a church in this city without being accepted by churches in this city. And right over there is one of them. They couldn't get it. He had to go from a Baptist to a Church of God or something to get permission to even have him a church right over there. You say, they can't do that to us. No, they already have, because you signed it away yourself.
Yeah.
Always watch one thing. I'm not a governmental man. I'm not a, what is that, liberal or what's that word y'all talking about? I ain't none of it. Conservative or a liberal. I don't even know what it means. Honest, I figure conservative means he conserves, but a liberal just gives it away. I figure that might be what it is, but I don't know. But listen, church. You watch when they pass in the laws, especially when they're going to pass one on Social Security again pretty quick. You need to find out what the rider bills are. You know what a rider bill is? A rider bill is stuck on. We've got people here that work for the government knows. That's a law that's stuck on to that law. If this law passes, that law passes. Automatic. So they attach all of these things right onto there. And you're going to vote to make sure you get your Social Security. And you're going to vote away your rights. Okay. See? We're selling ourselves out. And listen, I'm not talking about the worldly denomination of people. I'm not preaching out there. I'm talking about what are you and I going to do?
Right.
going to do when Grandma can't get Social Security anymore? Terrence said he's going to put me and Nanny in a nursing home. But what's he going to do when his money runs out?
Right.
Yeah. So when mine runs out, his going to run out. So what are we going to do? Grandma can't get Social Security. You going to take Grandma back home? And you going to pay Grandma's medical bills? See, it's all come in so easy until you voted your way into where we are. And then, like me, I turn around and say, not me, brother, because I don't even vote. Well, that's just as bad. To not vote is just as bad as to vote. I understand that. I just don't know who to vote for. Right? Do you? I mean, who do you want in this next race? Come on, they're listening to all this, so let them go ahead and listen. You know, the government can listen to all this stuff any way they want to. But are you going to vote for the president we've got, or are you going to vote for Rosetta Romney, or what? Who are you going to vote for? I wish Axel Maddox had come up and started to run again. I might even go register to vote for him. But listen, church. Think about it. Those seals, we'll get into it and see it. They're going to be broken when we get out of here in reality. Already been broke because they was broke 2,000 years ago. The Bible said the Lamb took the book. That had to be AD 95, 96, if nowhere else. Because that's when it was written. The Lamb took the book and broke the first seal, second, third. The same Lamb broke every seal. And it says when the seventh seal was opened. So it was opened 2,000 years ago. Huh?
Amen.
Revealed to a prophet that spoke to us to tell us what it is. And in one of these days, literally things will start taking place. When the actual seal itself is fully broken. He can't be the beast until you and I get out of here. He can get close. Right? Come on, brother. Think on these things as we try to finish this part up of Revelation 5. Then we'll go into maybe Revelation 6. And I said, may hit those seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe hit them all together in one or whatever to do. You know? But I just want you to see. There's a difference, a vast difference between the breaking of a seal, the making known of a seal, and the actual happening of the things under that seal when it takes place. There's a vast difference in it. People are arguing whether the seals are broken or not, especially the seventh. The Bible said it was open 2,000 years ago. Well, we don't know whether this... Uh-oh. He was fixing to say, we don't know whether this is right or not.
Right.
Well, then you're questioning the Word.
That's right.
Right? How many remembers about... Well, 77, 78, somewhere. 77. I said, when Brother Branham said that he predicted, I said, you thought it was prophesied, which was I've heard sermons preached that it had to be by then. You know, ridiculed by saying that we could pass by there. But we have. Then it come along about 80. And they started in then. Well, we got to get out of here by, what, 84 or something because of the Israel and the 44, and the, I mean 46 and 48. And then they were arguing that, you know, because that would have been 86 or 88. He came on down, and I told you, I said, first off, you question what the prophet was saying. Second off, you're questioning where the dates would be correct and whatever's taking place. But I said, the third thing, when it passes 2,000, you're going to question the Word of God. Now, that's on tape. Because now people are questioning whether the Word is right or not. People of this message, we say, are questioning whether the Bible is right. They've already declared that the prophet was all messed up. And you can't keep up with dates and times and governments. So now people are beginning to question this. Your total defense has been destroyed. You better have that still small voice that I spoke of this morning. That one that spoke to your heart. And no matter what they do, if they burn the Bible and burn all the books, they can't burn what's in my heart. See? Why? Because it's been revealed. Let's stand. What do we got, brother?
Number 116.
Anybody have a need? Seals are being broken to the bride. That we can see the revelation. We can see the revelation of what these things are. We can get out of here before they begin to do the horrible. Before things start transpiring. We can see it. There is.
Thank you.
Father. It's not money, Lord. We're not lifing. We're just lifing within our hearts how serious it is in things, Lord. That these things would be here in the end time. People without money, without places to go, and kids and things. What do we do, Lord? We can't take care of the whole world. But maybe sometimes we can help a little bit. Help us to just understand how far to go. We need you in Jesus' name. Anybody else that just have a need? Faith I see as she sweeps through the water to rescue you and me.
I just feel like coming up and...
that just have a need. Listen, church, we're concerned about our families and things, right? But the thing of it is just put Christ before them and live it. And walk on. And no matter how bad it gets, you say, that ain't the promise. The promise is that he told me what he'd give me. And I believe that. My daddy told me he'd give me this. That's settled. Just believe it. Oh. Just remember the questions and answers on Saturday and pray that the Lord would bless and all and take care of everybody and be with us all. And remember the brothers that's coming, just ask God to feed you. Because that's what I do. I ask God to feed me when somebody's preaching. I said, feed my soul, Lord. I'm hungry. See, I want something from God all the time. I love to hear from him. And then when he speaks, and I can just go for a long time, it's one little thing that he gives me. Because that's just where I've always been. That spoke to me in the beginning. That told me in the beginning has brought me to where I'm at. And I still depend upon that one to speak to me and keep me going. Because it's always been the same. He said, well, I know Brother Dale, it's been God. Well, that was what I guess I would have took two or three services this morning. But, you know, sometimes we can thank God is leading us when we really don't realize we might be the devil's in charge. You know. But we just have to depend on Him. And say, Lord, forgive me, lead me, guide me, help me. Till I can come to a place that maybe I don't stumble so much, you know. You know, a little kid, you just, little Ace, he took two or three steps yesterday on his first birthday. Well, that was just something thrilled at Terrence, you know, to get to do it. Well, see, you know, you can hold your finger out and he'll walk around, do we? But see, you need to get to a place where you can walk on your own 2 feet. Of course, the only thing I don't understand is why that when we get older, we need somebody to hold our hand or a walking stick. One, you know, because we get stumbling a lot, and that's one of the old things, right? But just pray that the Lord would bless us and guide us, all right? Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we ask you now to just go with us as we go our way to our separate homes, Lord, and bless each one. Give us of thine understanding. Bless, Lord, the people. And just keep everything in your love. And let it be you, Father, that would lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. At 5:45 for the Dave Ramsey.